your credit card at Amazon right now, ask for 500 Linux machines, large, with default server or Oracle in there, and 15 minutes later, you have them. And the beauty about it, it works like electricity, right? I mean, you pay for what you use. 2 weeks later, you finish your prototype or your proof of concept, you give it away, you don't have to pay anything else. Amazing. I mean, we didn't have that type of thing a few years back. How to use that, how to take advantage of that is something that I'm talking a little bit about it. But when you look at IT organizations nowadays, and this is what we at Unisys, we do, we help IT organizations throughout the federal government and also commercial. We see that there are multiple forces really driving and making, enforcing these IT organizations to change dramatically. One of them is definitely what we heard just a minute ago for 45 minutes, is the mobility aspect of it. And essentially, your PC is becoming obsolete. I mean, look at what HP did last week. They sold their PC unit when they bought 6 years ago compact computers. I mean, think about that, right? I mean, things are changing dramatically. From a security point of view, well, everyone has been hacked. Everyone. I mean, no matter what you want to tell you that you don't, you haven't. No. Everyone, especially the bank, especially the financial institution. And that's happening all the time, all the time. The second aspect is the identity. How can you trust who is on the other side of the wire, right? It's all about identity management, who you can trust. How do you know that that person connecting to your system is who they think that, I mean, they are telling you that they are? Then it comes to the aspect of cloud. It's changing dramatically the way we do computing, but it's also making it very, very complex. Because now we have our data centers, or traditional IT. We have now your private cloud, and now you have your public clouds also that you can use. And now these new IT organizations, they need to start managing all of that. And when you start thinking about creating large IT applications to support public health informatics, you need to start thinking about, okay, how can I take advantage of that? Because there are things that are much better used if I use the public cloud, there are some things that I want to stay private because they're perhaps they are mission critical applications, and I don't want to make them public. And finally, one aspect that very few people are looking at, but it's changing dramatically, and it's going to have a big impact in the next few years. Something called big data. And it's the fact that we as a society, we are generating humongous amount of data daily. I mean, the petabytes there is daily. We are going into the exabytes and the zettabytes, I mean, on a monthly basis. And think about now, how can we create the information we need and the knowledge that we need from that data? How can we massage, analyze that humongous amount of data? What do we do with it? Okay. So these four aspects is what we think is, how do we use them and how do they impact us when we start building applications for public health informatics? So essentially, the new IT organization, and this is the way we are advising them, especially in the federal government nowadays, is that they need to deal with different deployment platforms, really device agnostic. They need to be scalable, and they need to give the users the right experience on whatever device they're accessing those applications. So essentially, what we see the enterprise of the future, when you see as an architecture, and we really simplify that, Matthew Perrin, who helped me with the presentation. I had a bunch of other stuff here, and I'm very much like Tom. I mean, some sort of a geek. I mean, I love technology. But this is a simplified version. The most important thing is from the top, you're accessing your application from any device. But not only you have a lot of sensors out there. You have a lot of devices sending you information also that needs to get into your data repository. Then you have to have a way of trusting who you're working with. The whole thing about identity management. Who is on the other side? Who is going to be accessing your system? Who are you going to allow to see certain amount of data? How do you know what they do with the data when they start playing around with the data. What happens with your data when you send an attachment? Do you know what happens to that attachment after you send it out? Well, that's important. I mean, it's critical, really. And then you start looking at the whole thing about this public-private cloud and the interoperability in between them. On the private side, everybody's doing it, right? Every single federal organization or commercial institution is building their private cloud. Essentially, they're virtualizing their data centers. Not necessarily building clouds, because cloud, you know, we're talking about definitions of the cloud, we're gonna stay here all night long. But for me, a cloud needs to be elastic, right? The fact that I told you at the beginning, if I go to Amazon and I ask for 1,000 computers, I get 1,000 computers 15 minutes later. But if I ask for 5,000 computers, I also get 5,000 computers 15 minutes later. Not necessarily federal institutions, federal agencies, when they call themselves that they have built a private cloud, they are doing that. But at the same time, you have the public cloud. Look what GSA just did about the past 6 months ago. They eliminated their exchange servers. No more mail using Microsoft. They switched to Gmail. 18,000 accounts. They are saving $16 million with that change. And they are entirely in the cloud. A little cloud, we did it for them. And then under the other thing that you see there is public app store and private app store. And I agree totally with Tom, and he said, you know what, now people like to see very little information right to what I want to use right there on my device. And that's the reason what's going to happen. A lot of these mission critical apps are going to be decomposed over time, and you're going to get just pieces of functionality as apps. And some of them are going to be in private app stores, and some others are going to be in public app stores. If you go to USA.gov, you can see there about 120 public app stores that the federal government have already created. Fascinating. I mean, many, many of the federal agencies are already creating app stores, so they are making them public. But the beauty about the public cloud also is that you have many more players that you can take advantage of it and save significant amount of money. And when you start thinking about the economic environment that we live nowadays, you know, doing more with less is critical, right? So it's a good idea to start looking at what can you do with the public cloud. So, coming back to public health informatics, and this is a really great use case study, the National Children's Study. This is the largest longitudinal study ever conducted in the United States. Right? They're going to track every single kid from the time they get from teeth until they are 18 years old. And when you start looking at it, when you start looking at the architecture behind it, it's a very, very complex architecture. And it's an architecture where those four forces are impacting dramatically the way we will design and will execute in this study. You have multiple mobile devices collecting data all across the United States. You are in places where you have absolutely no connectivity whatsoever. Then you have sensors collecting humongous amount of data in the places where these kids live. And then you need to start synchronizing all this data and accumulating all this data and then making available to folks to create information, to create knowledge. How do you do that? So, when you look at mobility, one of the things that is very important, I mean, if you start looking at it, is, and things that Tom addressed at the beginning, the application, the software, not necessarily is going to be loaded on your devices. I mean, if you look nowadays, for instance, I mean, most of your documents, if you want it, you can have them in the cloud. You want to open them. I mean, Microsoft is there in the cloud as well. You don't need really to handle and to have any Office software on your computer nowadays if you want to deal with PowerPoint, Excel, or Microsoft Word, or any of those. So all your documents and your applications will be out there. And from a synchronization point of view, if you cannot be synchronized, if you don't have access on the network, well, you're going to store the data temporarily on your device, there are powers pulling off, and then when you get connected again to the network, then you start synchronizing the data back. And the next thing is the future authentication of these devices, which tackles a little bit the problem of security. First of all, we want to know what kind of device you have. Second of all, you have to have a password to get into that device, just in case you leave it in the taxi on your way home. And then you want to know more than that because passwords are hacked very easily. So you want to have some what we call multi-factor biometrics, whether it's your fingerprint and your iris or your face recognition, one of those. And then we want to know where you are. And when we combine all those pieces, we put it together, and now we give you access to your data on your device. But it needs to be this way because you're handling with your device very, very sensitive data. You have all your credit cards. You're eventually going to have all your medical records out there. I mean, who knows what you have? I mean, you're accessing all the applications, mission-critical applications of your agency. You're accessing through your device. So you need this kind of security implemented on your device. More about security. So when we talk about security and building these public health informatics applications, we really take a look at the whole enterprise in a very holistic way of looking at security. Not only the application that you're going to load on the device and the way that you are building that application in the sandbox that you're using to build that application, but also the way that you create the identities. And how are you going to deal with what can these particular identity access when they get connected to your data in your enterprise? And from the data point of view, what happens to the data, whether it's at rest or whether it's in motion? So what I was saying before, you start sending this attachment. You get a document from your enterprise, and you send it as an attachment to a colleague. Well, what happened? That colleague sending that attachment to somebody else who has no right to see that kind of information. How can you track that? How can you make sure that that person really cannot do that? So start putting in process those things that prevent from somebody who is not allowed to take a look at the data to see it and then to use it for other things that they're not supposed to do. The other thing is encryption. It's critical. It's part of the FIPS 140-2 for those of you who work in security. Apple will be compliant with FIPS 140-2 in the next coming month. In about 2 or 3 months is what they announced. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there, because then more and more federal agencies are going to be able to use the iPhone and the iPad, not by breaking the security policies, but legally. But seriously, on the iPad and the iPhone, on the VA, for instance, they approve already folks to use the iPhone and the iPad for read-only. They cannot access, they cannot change the data through the iPhone and the iPad, but they can read anything they want from their enterprise, from certain systems. The other thing is the ability to wipe out completely your remote device in case you lose it. That's very, very important. Part of the mobile data, your mobile data mobility management, because it happens. I mean, you're going to lose your device. You have to be able to wipe out completely as soon as you know that you have lost it. So these are some of the things that we looked at security, and when we start dealing with mobile devices in the enterprise. And each one of these areas, we could be talking 1 or 2 hours on each one of these, looking at the different software that we use and the different aspects of each one of them. The next aspect of it is cloud. And essentially what's happening with cloud is that your IT environment at the same time is flexible. It's much more flexible than before. It's much more complex. And the reason it's more complex is because now you have these three different environments. You have your traditional IT that you had before. You have your private cloud that federal organizations are building within your organization. And then you have the public cloud. And then deciding how do you use them, how do you interoperate, how do you maintain, for instance, the same identity, whether you are on the public or on the private or in your traditional IT. It becomes very, very complex. When you go to public, what are the SLAs that you're going to deal with, them, right? I mean, what happens now that GSA went to Gmail, and what happens if Gmail goes down for a day or two? You need to start looking at that. There are different things that we need to look at, because it becomes very, very complex environment where CIOs nowadays need to start thinking about changing their workforce, because they need to start hiring folks that have a more holistic view of the IT environment. And the final one is big data. And again, we consider this something that is changing dramatically the IT computing landscape, especially in the next couple of years. But just to give you some stats, look at these ones. I mean, and it's amazing. I mean, the amount of data that we as a society are creating, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Especially that one on the middle right? I mean, if you look at the data stored by consumers in just 1 year, it's larger than all the digitized voice for humans. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and more and more mobile devices coming out, right? I mean, and the different things that we're creating, videos, I mean, galore, right? Text messages, and Facebook, and Twitter, everything combined. But at the end of the day, what do you do with this data? And how do you transform that data into useful information, right? How you analyze it, dissect it, massage it, aggregate it, so you can create really good information for the right people at the right time. And then, how do you transform that information into really good knowledge? So one of the things that is changing dramatically, and this was initiated by Google and Yahoo and Facebook the past 5 years, is that they realize that when dealing with that amount of data, the relational model is really old. It's actually old, it's more than 40 years old, right? When you start looking at relational model, like what Oracle, SQL Server, right? It's not really taking advantage of the fact that you can have unlimited computing power at any point in time. And, you know, in 15 minutes, again, I can have 5,000 computers, right, for me to do whatever I want. So using the relational model is really not the right way of taking advantage of that environment. So how do you do cloud data analytics in this environment, in this data, whatever you want to call it? I mean, it's a huge amount of data. And the fact is that there are tools nowadays, something called Hadoop, MapReduce, I don't know if some of you have heard about them, but allows you to analyze and aggregate and massage humongous amount of data in a fraction of the time that our relational model was with. And just to give you a little example, we work with NSF, National Science Foundation, and they asked us to, they did a study, and they realized that they wanted to go through all their grants and their proposals and try to extract certain data that they were very interested in. They calculated how long it would take them to do that, and they said, well, if we use our infrastructure and we stop doing everything that we're doing and we just crank it up, it will take us 8 months to do it, to get the right result. So what we did is that we took 25% of their data, we put it on Amazon, put about 400 computers to work on it, and we put Hadoop on top of it. Well, it took about 4 hours by the time we got all the information they needed. That's the difference. I mean, in how can you handle data in the future, the way you visualize it, the way you do distributed storage, and the fact that there are these new tools that you can put on top of your data repositories to take advantage of it. So, in summary, what I can say is that if you are in the business of creating applications, an IT application, IT system, or a public health informatics, you need to take a look at these four elements. Huge amount of device agnostic, all kind of devices accessing your applications and your data. They need to be secure, and when you look at security, you need to look kind of from the enterprise level, the device, the data, the network, everywhere. And then the ability to use cloud efficiently, and finally the ability to analyze and manage humongous amount of data. Okay. Any questions? Thank you.